Lord. So stand if you will. Let's go before him in prayer. Precious Heavenly Father, what a blessing, Lord. What an opportunity. Lord, together, Lord, in a special place, Lord, you provided us to worship. Lord, we give all the glory and honor to you, Lord, each and every day, Lord. That we rise out of bed, we have a burning desire in our heart to serve you. Whatever it takes, Lord, we're here to serve you. Lord, we just ask that you have your way in this service. Reveal the word to us this day, Lord. And we appreciate everything you've done for us. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask and pray. Amen. You may be seated. I turn to page 233 in our Only Believe.
Have woven a crown.
Sometimes you feel so unworthy. Unworthy am I of the glory to come. Wow, that's great, saints. Amen. Like the page 13, same book. Marvelous grace. Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's grace, marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed. I didn't earn it. It was bestowed. Amen. On all who believe, you that are longing to see his face, amen. Will you this moment his grace receive? Amen. What a day it was when he came down and dipped his love in my heart. Nothing I could do to earn it, just his grace. Never want to forget his grace and his mercy. Amen. Brother Paul, would you mind taking up the offering again this morning? This is our missionary offering today. Remember that.
Jesus, Heavenly Father, to come before you this day once again, Lord Jesus, to come here to worship you, Lord Jesus, and to hear from you once again this day, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for that wonderful word you've given us, Lord Jesus. And this privilege, Lord Jesus, that you have given us, Lord Jesus, to hear that word and that little bit of the things, Lord Jesus, that can see that word.
Yes.
Brought to us, Lord Jesus, just seeing friends and family, friends out there that just the heart is good out of tune sometimes, Lord Jesus, wondering about this purpose.
Yes.
And you just want to sometimes have a good heart, Lord Jesus. And just, Lord, sometimes we can give, Lord, but Lord, sometimes we feel like our time is worth more than money, Lord Jesus, to be Father, just to reach out. Lord, we want to give back. Do what we can, Lord Jesus, to reach out there, reach those last souls, Lord Jesus, we want that time to come. Father, and I pray you just bring that last one to us so we can go on that, Father.
Amen.
And we just ask that as we do that, and we just bless these tithes and offerings. Use it for the Father to be in Jesus' name.
Amen. I'm reaching out to you, dear Lord. I'm reaching out to you. I'm reaching out to you, dear Lord. I'm reaching out to you. I know. Amen. have a song this morning or special? Sister Grace?
When the hurt goes deeper than the deepest place your heart has ever known, when you're standing in your darkest trial and it seems you're standing all alone, when the tears fall down like bitter rain and you're wondering if the sun will shine again, in the midst of disappointment look around, you'll find a faithful friend. He's walked through my darkest valley, shining light upon the lily by the way. He has picked me up and held me when I thought I could not face another day. Never fail or let you down, and his love will help your broken heart to mend. So pick up the broken pieces and turn around, you'll find a faithful.
Be raining today, but he can make the sun shine again tomorrow. Amen. Let's all stand if you will. As our pastor comes, can we sing a little chorus? Reach out and touch the Lord. Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by.
just bow our heads again for a moment of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, again, we are so thankful and so appreciative that you give us another opportunity to be here and gather together, Lord, in your mercy and grace. And so appreciative of the desire you've placed in our hearts to be here. We realize, Lord, as each day goes by and as time moves on, that, Lord, that's so precious to have a desire. We ask now again today that you would speak to our hearts through the Word of God. And Father, you know in our lives, you know all about us. You know our very thoughts. You know what we're going to do today, tomorrow, and the next day. But Lord, we pray, though God, that you would just take and open our understanding to the Word in a greater way, that, Father, we could serve you and please you, that you'd have a greater preeminence in our lives. We ask it again for your glory, honor, and praise. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Praise his wonderful name. Amen. You thankful for all things? Amen. I trust that we all are. Amen. Thankful for everything God has blessed us with. Let us turn our Bibles to the book of James in the second chapter. And let's go to the 8th verse here. And I'd like to bring a little subject to me. Sister Demeen said that she, her brother Samba got out of the hospital Friday morning. So we're thankful for that, that God has blessed him. He's doing a lot better. So pray God will continue to bless him. Amen. All right, James, the second chapter and the 8th verse. I read this here 2-3 weeks ago or so, something like that. I just want to bring our attention to it one more time. And I want you to remember this scripture as we go into our little subject this morning. If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all.
Amen.
For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy, that hath showed no mercy. And mercy rejoiceth against judgment. May the Lord bless you in his word, and you may be seated. As I said, now I want you to keep this in mind as we move along in this little exhortation this morning. And it's one of those things I've spoke on many, many times, but yet it seems to just not be understood or grasped, or maybe a little dull of hearing. I don't know which it is, but anyhow, we want to go back into something here and bring our attention to. And I want you to think about now what James is saying here. You know, he said, but if you have respect toward persons, and or in other words, you discriminate or you uplift somebody else higher than somebody else, you know, you don't love one because maybe a little glitch over here or something, and you respect another person above another, you know. He said you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors or as a word breaker. Okay. So for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point or one word, okay, he is guilty of all. Or he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So we find here, as I go into this little subject, kind of keep in your mind as a personal individual. You may not, on a certain thing, maybe with what I bring today, you may not be, say, well, I'm guilty of that. But you've got to remember, if you're breaking the word somewhere else, you're just as guilty, you see. So that's what we want to keep in mind this morning. So, and I want to talk about this morning, as me and a brother was talking there yesterday afternoon. And it was, the subject came up, and we was talking about different things. And it still seems like people are still so critical toward each other and have such a, how could I say it, maybe sometimes the wrong attitude towards each other. And you don't have that love for each other like you should. And you, it makes you say things that you shouldn't say. It makes you even begin to think things you should never think about your brother or your sister. Sometimes we lift ourselves up to a position that I'm better than the other person. There's something wrong with a man or woman's heart that does that. Because again, we all are saved by the grace of God. And there's not a one of us in here, if it wasn't for God, is worth anything. I mean, nothing. If it wasn't for God's grace, we'd all just be trash. We'd be ashes under the feet of the righteous. And that's what sometimes we seem to forget. It seems like the word we hear sometimes when we say we receive, it seems to puff us up so many times when we should see how little we are. You know, the prophet talked about that. You know, it's, you know, it's when you get down here, then God can lift you up. And if it comes that way, it'll work out all right. But you watch people get a bunch of intellectual head knowledge. Well, I am a son of God, and I was in the thoughts of God, and I'm this, and I'm that, and I can understand the word for this day, and I'm a believer. And it's not really genuine. You watch them lift themselves up, and they're heading for a fall. They don't realize it, but they're heading for a fall. And so I want to bring some of these things to our attention today. And some people say things about their brother or sister they should never say. Some people meddle in other brothers and sisters' business that they have no business meddling in. I mean, it's just another business, you know? And I don't understand why people want to do that so much, but I think you'll see when we begin to bring the scriptures out and bring some things the prophet said, we'll see why this is happening. And again, if we'll only take these last few weeks, what I've brought, and you, as an individual, apply that to your life personally, you wouldn't have to worry about this part. It's just all there is to it. Just plain and simple. See? So renew our minds back to something the prophet said here. I quote it many times, but I thought I'd read it so you'd know exactly what the prophet said. It's in the future home. You know it very well. But again, I just wanted to read it so you know the prophet said it. Okay. He says, then when you get the baptism of fire, then the Holy Ghost can come in. Why? As it does, it burns up everything contrary to the word. Now, he either doesn't know what he's talking about, or he had no business saying that, or we just can't seem to get it. But he knew exactly what he's saying, and it was God speaking through that prophet to bring this in the way that he did. See? When we receive that baptismal fire, that Holy Ghost comes in, it burns everything out of us that's contrary to the word. Now, we might have a lot of excuses, but it's time to quit making excuses now. And surely we've been able to see that the last few weeks. I hope we can see it. And I'm sorry to have to bring things like this and things I've brought years ago. But the thing it is, friends, it's we're living in a time the Lord Jesus could appear anytime. Everything could finish up very quickly. You know, and people just live like this is going to just keep going on, keep going. And I've got all the time in the world to do what I'm going to do and need to overcome. How wrong we're going to be, friends. He'll come as a thief in the night. Now that's what we was talking the other day, the evidence of the Holy Ghost. The evidence of the Holy Ghost is when you can receive the word, not some system. Now some people just like to stress that part. And they don't like to go on with the rest of it. And they don't like to stress the rest of it. Or illuminate the rest of it. But I like seeing everything he said here illuminated. You see? Because a lot of people can say, I received the word. Yeah. Because I believed it and they think they received it. You know? I'm so wrong. He said, when you receive the word, not some system, but have a clear understanding. How do you know the word is clear? Understand it. How do you know that you've understood it? It's so easy to say we understand the word, and I understood this, and I understand the prophet's message and all that. It's so easy to say that. See? He said, how do you know you understand it? Watch it vindicate itself. That's how you know. If it doesn't vindicate, you did not understand it. See? Well, you say, I see this do it, and this, that, and other. In other words, he's putting away, well, I see this person live that way and this way. And you know, they got the Holy Ghost, but God has shown us something here. Well, you say, I see this do it and that. Oh, yes, weeds live the same way, see? But it's got to be the entire word. The entire word to be the bride. I think about that. So with what I'm going to bring today is the word. It's not my idea. It's not my opinion. It's not what I think as a personal individual, think people should do or not do. It's the word we're talking about. Okay? And if, like I say, now you may sit there and you find you're able to keep this one, what I talk about today. What about something else, though? You know? That's where so many people get so messed up, is they want to point fingers at somebody, they want to ridicule somebody, they want to look down on somebody because they've done something wrong or they're not doing something quite the way they want to do it. But the thing it is, and we'll bring it out, when you do that, you're blind to what you're doing wrong. And you think you're fine. See? Okay? We'll get to it. And he says here, but it's got to be the entire word to be the bride. You have to be part of him, and he is the word, you see. All right. So let's turn now to the book of James again. Go back to the book of James, and let's go to the third chapter. And let's read something here. And just set some things in order in our thoughts and our heart. James, third chapter, and let's begin the first verse. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. In other words, as we make errors, we make mistakes. Okay? We commit sin. Some do. For many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, now pay attention to what he's saying here. Our words, what we speak, has got something to do with what we are. Okay. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man. Think of that. And able also to bridle the whole body. Now think of this, and he's going to go on to explain this to us. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths. And I'm probably several of you here, maybe some of you had horses and you've rode them and you've put bits in their mouth and you control them by having that bit in their mouth. If you want to go left, you pull it left rein, it goes left, unless you get some crazy horse. Or you want to go right, you pull right, and it goes to the right. If you want to stop, pull back on both reins and stop. You see? If you want to go, release, leave the pressure off, and go again. You're controlling that whole horse that's maybe 1,100, 1,200 pounds or more. You're controlling that horse by its mouth. If we can control the mouth, the whole body of that horse is moved, if we're controlling the mouth. Okay? That's what he's showing us here. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships.
Now he's going to do something bigger.
Yeah. Look at some of these ships today they have. My, 400, 500, 600 feet long. Weigh thousands and thousands and thousands of tons. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Oh my. If we really think about this, all it takes is a Holy Ghost to turn your whole body. And he's going to tell us here, it's, and let us see, it's, no man can ever do that in himself. You sit there, I stand there today, and there's no way, none of us control this tongue and make it come out right all the time unless by the Holy Ghost. No other way. I don't care how smart you are, how good you are, how well, background of the family you have and everything, there's no way you can do it. No. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Now think of that. Now keep paying attention to what he's going to say with this. Okay? And the tongue is a fire. I think everybody in here probably knows a fire burns and it hurts, doesn't it? Yeah. Oh, it hurts terrible to get burnt. It's sometimes excruciating. It's so painful sometimes when you get burnt. You just almost can't understand it, you know? It's terrible. But it hurts. It kills. Fire kills. Keep in mind. And the tongue is a fire and a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body. Think of that. The rest of your body can ever look so good. It can be dressed so right. That body can come into service and you can raise your hands and worship the Lord. That body can go places it only is supposed to go. But all it takes is one thing to come out of this mouth, off that tongue, and it can kill the whole thing. The whole thing. So the tongue is among our members that it defiled the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire of hell. It can destroy your whole journey that you're on right now. Your journey from being born from mother's womb. And maybe all these years supposedly serving the Lord. And doing many good things for the Lord or many good things for the people. That tongue can destroy that journey. What comes out of your mouth? Think of that. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed. I'm sure we probably have all seen that. Go to the zoos and things, see different animals and things. Seem like just about everything can be tamed, you know? And hath been tamed of mankind. Sometimes I notice this man, I can't remember his name now, but he's tamed these grizzly bears. And he practically lives with them and everything. I think, wow. And here Paul with them great big claws on, it's up against his face, you know, and you can't see, it's way bigger than his head is. Like, and all it would take is just one bite of that bear and his head would be gone. It has tamed that bear. As huge as it is, an elephant, They have tamed an elephant, many of them, trained them to do many things. But there ain't a man on earth can tame his tongue. Think of that. Cannot do it. Regardless of how good we are, how nice we are, and all this, that, and the other. And how sweet we are about everything else, but maybe one certain thing. For every kind of beast and birds of serpents and things in the sea is tamed and have been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. None. It is an unruly, evil, full of deadly poison. Think of that. Tongue full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God. I will come in the service and we'll praise and lift up our hands and praise Him and sing, I love Him. I love Him. Maybe 15 minutes later, go up to brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so. I can't understand why this brother does this and this sister does that. I wouldn't do that if it was me. What you just done was just as bad. Yeah. Even if you never did what they did, it was just as bad. Because your tongue was not tamed. Because out of our mouth should always come peace and good things. And say good things. Doesn't work. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God or in the likeness of God. Out of the same mouth proceeded blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Or sisters, ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh? Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Gentleness of spirit and of godly wisdom. Yeah. But if ye have bitter harshness, you watch when people say things about people like that or begin to falsely accuse somebody or begin to gossip about somebody, there's a harshness there. But if ye have bitter envying, which is jealousy, and strife in your hearts. What, strife, friends, is when you try to put yourself in a better position than the other person is. That's what it is. Strife. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not. And lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, and gentle, and easy to be entreated. Full of mercy. Maybe that's what we need, a little more mercy. Yeah. Full of mercy and good fruits without partiality. Yeah. And without hypocrisy. It's easier for people to do that when it's not their family. If it's not their uncle, aunt, brother, sister, it's easier for them to show partiality. It's easier for them to, because it ain't their family. But you lack an understanding. A brother or sister in Christ is your real family. That's your true, true family. Yeah. That would be the ones you'd really, really want to make sure. You would never want to say anything to belittle them or to make someone else think that they're lower than you are. Remember, Scripture tells us to prefer our brother. Think more of the things of others than things of yourself. But our conversations, oftentimes, in a way we want to run people down and make them look bad, is not pleasing to God. And here we think, oh, we're keeping the law and we're living by the word and this, that, and the other. And we're guilty. See? Without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Jesus himself said, blessed are the peacemakers, didn't he? Yes. So why wouldn't we want to try to make peace? Why wouldn't we want to try to uphold and say good things about our fellow man? Sinner or saint? Why would you want to make the sinner look worse than they already are? People know they are. If you can't say something good about them, pray for them. Because remember, you is just as bad. I don't care how good you think you're sitting there now. And guess what? If your tongue isn't tamed by the Holy Ghost, you're worse than that sinner. As you know to do good and you're doing it not. And that's the one he's going to tell you one of these days, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never even knew you. Think of that. Now that's terrible. That's sad. That's a sad position to be in. You see. But we think sometimes we've got a right to say whatever we want to say. You better get interested in getting your tongue tamed. And the only way it's going to get tamed, and that's by the Holy Ghost. And quit running people down. Quit trying to make people look bad. Yeah. In 1 Peter 4 chapter, 15th verse, Peter says, but let none of you suffer or be affected by or be affected as a murderer. And remember, friends, Brother Brown mentioned it. But murder ain't always just going out and shooting somebody or sticking them with a knife and killing them physically. But you can kill them with your mouth. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know what it's like to have people try to murder me. And murder me and murder me and keep murdering me. You know? But that's between them and God. You know? It's whatever, you know, it's I can't help that. I just want to stay on the right end, you know. Okay. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief, as a thief. Now listen to what's going to be put together with this. Why, you think a murderer and a thief? Boy, them's nasty people. You know? You always hear people make the statement, there's nothing more I can stand worse than a thief. You know? Suffer as a murderer or a thief. Or as an evildoer, or as a busybody. Look what Peter put with these terrible looking things. A busybody. In other men's matters. Think of that. I looked up busybody in. If you just think about it, busybody in other manners is things that you have no business meddling in. It's meddling. And meddling is to intrude in someone else's life or business. What's my business where somebody works? What's my business if somebody is working and where they're working? What's my business if these brothers and sisters maybe want to gather around and have prayer if they don't have prayer? It ain't my business. I can just tell them what God's Word says, if it's anything whatever God's Word concerns. But it ain't my business. Now, as a pastor, sometimes people get themselves confused. You know, Brother Bram talked about if the pastor wags his head this way and the whole congregation wants to wag their head this way. And sometimes people pick up when the chastening of the Word comes forth, then they think they can chasten everybody. And it's none of your business. God, that is left up to the ministry to do that. You see. But when you think you can get in somebody's business and start chasing them for this, that, and other, you're going to cause some kind of wrong friction, friend. Especially when you're a hypocrite and living wrong too. Now you're going to get into trouble. But when you just, if it's something that ain't your business, just pray for them. You may think they're doing wrong, but maybe they're not either. See? You may accuse them of something and doing something that you think happened because somebody else did. And oh, this is the way it was because Brother So-and-so said this is what happened. And he didn't have a clue what was said or what was done. You don't have a clue. No. He was misled by his wife. That's a hypocrite. So, you think, well, I don't have to give an account for that because so-and-so said this to me. Oh, yes, you are going to give an account. You're going to give an account of every idle word that comes out of that mouth. Friends, we don't take this serious enough. And oftentimes we hurt each other because of it. And because we always want to get in other people's business. And you know what's training the people this age to be that way? Social media. It is training people to be that way, to where they're always in each other's business and trying to find out this and find out that, and it ain't none of your stinking business. And the devil has used social media to do that very thing. You're trained, and my, you're being trained well. And the only way you're going to keep from being trained with that social media is get the Holy Ghost. That's the only way. Friends, I'm telling you, think we can play with God's Word. You can't. You cannot do that. What is it my business if Henry's working? What is my business if Sister Susie went to town? It ain't none of my business. No. But everybody wants it to be their business. They want to know everybody. And if they can't find out, they just keep asking questions. Oh, where'd so-and-so go? Where'd they go? What they doing? What this, that, and the other? A man can't even go on vacation today without everybody giving them the third degree. Where are they going? What they doing? What are they allowed to do? What trained you for? Satan's eating his social media. That's exactly what's on it. And you can't see it. The Scripture's going to tell you, you're blind. You're blind. Friends, I can only tell you what this Word says. I cannot change you. Keep that in mind. You'd think, well, my, this is a sweet little blessed little church, you know, and everything ought to be sweet and kind. It ought to be. But the devil's going to try to get in here just the same as he would as any other church. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as in a busybody in other men's matters. Like I said, that's more of a problem for, of course, men's getting to be the thing too because of social media training them, but it used to be a thing mainly women. A lot anymore, men's getting right in on the show. They got to know everything about everybody. If you just keep your own doorstep swept clean and not worry about somebody else's. Yeah. But no, we got ourselves puffed up because we think we're in the thoughts of God and we're a son of God and they're this, that, and the other, and I've got the authority to find out what's going on. You're lost and don't know it. For in the Greek it says a busybody in other men's matters is one who takes the supervision of affairs pertaining to others. Control. You think you can control what other people's doing by finding out what they're doing. better get yourself broke of it. Because the Word's going to tell you, you're gone, friends. Yeah. And it may think, you may think, oh, you're the sweetest thing. And you may sit there today and think, well, I ain't breaking that. But what else are you breaking? Because you're just as guilty as the whole thing, friends. The rest of the Word, if you break something else. We can't seem to get these things. And the way you're going to get it, friends, is by the Holy Ghost. And you may go out here today and think, oh, I've got to stop or start watching what I say. No, you shouldn't go out with that attitude. You should go out and say, Lord, fill me with the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Because no man has ever tamed his tongue. So you're not going to go out here and try better and make it work. There's only one thing going to do it. That's Christ. Sorry, friends, I had to always do this. But I'm trying by the grace of God to at least get maybe one in. Maybe one. That's maybe. But I'm trying. 2 Timothy 3, first verse. And this know also that in the last days, perilous times, dangerous times, friends, treacherous times, hard to take times, original Greek says. Hard to take times. Shall come. 2 Timothy 3. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Look at people doing that today. Love them own selves. They don't care about anybody else. It's just me, me, me. Yeah. In other words, self-interest is another way to put it. Self-interest in yourself. Covetousness, love for money, love for material things. I was listening to a tape the other day, and Brother Bram was saying, that's all people seem to be in this age we're moving into. It's all it comes about is how much more money they can get. Oh, how true it is. Covetousness, boasters. That's empty, empty pretender. There's nothing there to back up what they say. Without natural affection, truce breakers. They don't keep a promise. Let me promise you, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do this, and they don't keep it. It's the age and time we're living in. It's perilous times. Dangerous times. It's when this is all going to come out. Yeah. False accusers. Now think of that. False accusers. What if by chance you did? Somebody told you something, a brother that ain't right. And he's just trying to stir the pot, as the old saying is, you know. And he heard so-and-so say something, and then this person said something, and finally got to him. And then he said something to you, and it got all twisted up. And it all started from somebody seeing something that didn't even realize what they was seeing, and was putting something together in their head and their mind, thinking, because they didn't really like this person. And time it got down to you. Well, brother told me that. And then you repeated it. Who's responsible? You. It came off of your tongue. But the Holy Ghost is supposed to renew our minds and bring these things to our remembrance. They would be very careful if somebody's saying something that's don't sound quite right. The Holy Ghost should be leading on the inside and saying, no, don't pay attention to this. There's something else to this. Be careful. But we're so excited about telling people something. There's a man I know. He's not even a Christian. But he's probably the closest thing to a female in a man's body I've ever seen in my life. And I'm not talking about femininity. I'm talking about the way he acts. He digs and hunts. I mean, draws and pulls and tugs to try to find something to tell somebody else. I mean, he lives for that. constantly. And sometimes that's the way believers become. They search, they dig, they hunt, they want to have something to tell somebody. When the Word tells us to be slow to speak and quick to hear. But we want to be so quick to speak and so quick to tell things. If we can't tell with our mouth, we'll tell it with our fingers. Why can't we see this? Why can't we? For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful. You see all these things in the end time. We see it more than ever. Unthankful. I never seen a time as I've gotten older and I get older and I can do something for people and know they had need of. I'm not even talking so much here, but I'm talking about just people without the land, you know. They really needed something, you know. And I try to show them God's love, you know, and do this, that, and the other, and try to help them out, do this, that, and never hear a thank you for the first stitch. No more thankful than anything. I had a lady this week come in, an older lady come in, and I don't even know who the woman was. She's probably in her 70s if I was to guess. She told me her name, but I didn't remember her first name. I remember the last name. And she said, I have something for you. She said, is Philip DeLong your dad? And I said, yeah. And she said, okay, I got something for you. So she goes back to the truck and brings me something. It's this old Bible. She said, this Bible was your grandpa's. I said, really? I said, boy, that's amazing. So she has opened up, showed me a few things in. And I told her, I said, I really appreciate you thinking about that and bringing it to me. I said, I really appreciate it. And I told her again, as she was getting the truck, I said, thank you again very much. I said, this will be interesting. And of course, I've flipped through it and seen some things and so forth. But I was just really thankful. And I let her know I was thankful. Yeah. She took the time to come in here and hand me that Bible. You know, and et cetera. And it's an old one. I mean, it was given to them, my grandpa and grandmother, in 1924. So it's close to 100 years old for too long. So, you know, I appreciate it. I told her that, but I expressed it. And every time I absolutely can, I try to express to people, I appreciate that very much. Very much. But so many people are so unthankful. They don't appreciate anything. No, they don't. It's just, oh, I deserve it. I'm a child of God. I got my doubts. I got my doubts. You're a child of God. Yeah. Friends, this word was not put in there just to fill space and time and pages. It's God's eternal word. What man shall live by. And that alone. Without natural affection, true space breakers, false accusers, incontinent, which is no self-control. Fierce, just mean, see. Despisers, those that are good. Traitors, see, they'll betray you in a heartbeat. Heady, they're reckless. They have a reckless way. They just pilfer through this, that, and the other, and they don't really have a controlled life. High-minded, Brother Branham used this many times, and he said, know-it-alls. And friends, whenever you approach somebody, I don't care if it's your brother and sister in Christ, or you're trying to witness to somebody, or men on the job, I'm going to tell you what, you're going to get nowhere. You'll get nowhere trying to show Christ to them if you're a know-it-all. There's many men today, friends, that's branded by every people I work with and so forth. And somebody comes and says, boy, there's a know-it-all. They get branded. They're know-it-all. Yeah. I know a man I worked with. I'm telling you, he had an answer for everything. It wasn't right, but he had an answer for it. You know, and he thought he knew what the answer was. But friends, that's the age we're living in. High-minded. Yeah. They know everything. But when you compare to what God has, friends, we don't know much. No. We're blessed to know what we know. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures. Oh, look at the time we're living in, lovers of pleasures. You see so many, and they'd rather be out doing some kind of pleasure than go to church. Yeah. and go do this, that, and the other, and this, and have fun doing this, and have fun doing that. It's just pleasures. You know, they enjoy doing things and feeding the flesh, you see. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness. Brother Branham said, this is professed Christians. Yeah. That's what he said. I'll read it. This is people that profess to be Christians. That these things will be in. Wow. False accusers? A professed Christian? Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. They deny the power of the revelation in God. See? All right. Brother Branham said, the world is falling apart. What a proper thing, title for what he said here. Paragraph 179. Now we see exactly that's what the prophet said would come to pass in the day, the prophet Paul. And he's talking about scripture we already read, 2 Timothy 3. We find out that the time was coming when the church would be heady, high-minded, know-it-alls, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, truce-breakers, false accusers, incontinent, and despisers of those that are good. You mean that's in the professed Christians? Yes. There's a bunch, quite a few bunch that despises me. Yeah. And they're in this message. You know? Incontinent and despisers those that are good. You say, that's communists. No, he says. That's professed Christians. Yeah. Listen. Read the next verse. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power of, from such turn away. Wow. Don't you be like that. It also says, and God is his own interpreter, February 5th, 1964, paragraph 132. See, it's people's mind. It's in people's mind. They're blind. Blind by what? Do you believe they can be blind? He asked the people. Do you believe people can be blind? He says, the Bible said they would be. Listen what he says. The Bible said they would be. Is that right? Heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, despisers of those that are good, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Didn't Jesus say himself in St. Matthew 24:24 that the two spirits in the last days would be almost, these last days would almost deceive the very elect if it were possible? But it isn't possible. They were in God's thoughts at the beginning, and they're a part of God. So there's no way they can be deceived. They will be able to cipher by the Holy Ghost what should be done and shouldn't be done. You see? These things will come to the mind. These things will come to the remembrance, which is what the Comforter said he would do. Okay? Satan's Eden. Now, back in the days of persecution of Rome to the church, a Christian would make a mistake, and he went into the arena. We've read this many times. I want to put it with this before we go on to the next few things. Found him being a Christian for his testimony, but his soul was saved because he was a purely unadulterated believer in God. And glad that he sealed his testimony with his blood. And as the veins let loose, the holes in his body, the blood bled out. He would scream up with real loyal faith and say, receive my spirit, Lord Jesus. But now the cunningness of the devil now makes the people believe they are Christian when they're not. Now, what is it that's making you feel or believe you're right in saying things about your brother or sister that you should never say? What is that? That same devil that deceived Eve deceives you. You think you have the right to say the things that you say, regardless of how much fire is coming off this tongue that hurts and kills. Yeah. You know, when a brother falls or makes a mistake, the prophet told us, or does something wrong, don't push him further down. Pray for him that God will lift him up. Yeah. But no, we'd rather push him down. would rather just keep on pushing and keep on pushing and say, hey, this, you know, this brother, did you hear about brother so-and-so here? Did you hear about brother so-and-so here? Did you hear what sister so-and-so did? Oh, my. But the cunningness of the devil now makes the people believe they're Christian when they're not. There's the thing. You don't have to seal it no more. He said it's a more cunning day than it would be than when you had to seal your life away with your testimony. The devil has set every cunning trap that he can. He's a deceiver. Think of that. And Jesus told us, Matthew 24, how this day would be, that we're living in the most deceitful day they ever lived. So close it would deceive the very elect of God if it were possible for him to deceive. Now let us compare some scriptures or prophecies spoken in the Bible for today and compare it with the day that we're now living in. 2 Timothy 3. Again. We learn this that the prophet said that it would come to pass in these days that man would be heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Compare that now just for a moment. We'll just brief it because we haven't much time to go through it like we should. Duly take it. But just to highlight it. Time's getting to be. I'm running out of time. I'm going to hurry. Heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Truce breakers, false accusers. Look what he put in with this. Most deceptive agent ever was. Incontinent and despisers, those that are good. Now the Spirit spoke expressively that these things would be in the latter days. That he says that's these days. The prophecy speaking to it. Now we read also in Revelation 3:14 rather, the Laodicean church age, that how the church would be in the last age, and it would be, it says, it would sit as a widow and have need of nothing. It was rich and increased in goods, and know it not that they were poor, miserable, wretched, blind, and naked, and didn't know it. See what he put with that 2 Timothy? Why? He is speaking to the church of this age, wretched, blind, naked, and don't know it. That's the last phrase. He said that last word is what makes it so striking. They think that they're well filled with the Spirit. How could a man belittle his brother or sister, or even just keep talking bad about a sinner? And just constantly running people down, just everywhere they go, they just run people down, run people down, run people down. And Christ be in there. How could it be? Oh my. What is going to happen if maybe the Lord's dealing with one of those sinners' hearts and somebody comes up and tells them, oh, brother so-and-so from my church, boy, he was just telling how bad you was. You'll never make it. You ain't got nothing. That's what he said. That's what they said. You ain't got nothing. Talk about a stumbling block. Yeah. And what if that sinner was to come in and he offended him? The scripture tells us it'd be better to commit suicide. It'd be better to hang a millstone around your neck and be tossed in the sea than to offend the least of his little ones. Wow. You see what God thinks about it. Yeah. I'm going to skip a little bit and finish up over here. I'm going to read this, what the prophet said. You all know it very well. We've got it hanging up out there. Just to refresh your mind to it. Of what he told the church in Christ, the mystery of God revealed. He says, love one another above everything. Love one another. No matter what the devil tries to say. Now, does the devil speak to you in an audible voice? No. And he'll use a representative, a man or woman, just like our Lord Jesus says. Now you, he says, now you're all one great big sweet group now. But remember my warning. God's prophet warning us. Satan won't let you stay that way.
I'm a good sweet group right now. They said Satan won't let you stay that way.
No, sir. He'll shoot everything. If he has to bring somebody in to make his target, he'll bring some critic in.
Not somebody always criticizing. Not something critical to say about somebody. Yeah.
He'll bring some critic in or unbeliever in and sit him down and cause him to fellowship with you under the quietness of things. And then he'll shoot that guy with some kind of a poison stuff. Yeah. And he'll start through the church with it.
He says, don't you take sides with it. No. I don't care if it's your daddy, your mommy, your sister, your daughter, your son. Don't you take sides with it. Because your son or daughter may be the worst enemy you've got, the scripture says.
Don't you have nothing to do with anything else. You stay right, loving, sweet, and kind to one another. Now remember, love suffereth long. Love is kind. Love thinketh no evil.
Love endureth all things. It bondeth not itself, it is not puffed up.
Pray for that man.
Or one,
that he'll be saved too.
Yeah. So what it takes to get rid of that poison? They need saved.
Or that woman, or whoever it is, just pray for them and stick one with another.
That's the only way we're going to make it, friends. We stick one another. Stick with each other. The devil don't want us to. Especially when truth's coming forth, and he's going to want you to stick together, old devil.
And stay with your pastor. He's the shepherd, and you give him respects. He'll lead you through because he's ordained of God to do so. Now, do you remember that?
Congregation says, amen. But I wonder how many times since then something's got in that congregation.
The enemy will come, and when he does, just cling that much closer together. And the one that the devil is using for an enemy will either get out or come in and be one of you. That's all he says. Don't never clan or talk and make yourself clannish.
Or exclude your brothers and sisters of what some things you like to do or with others. Don't exclude them. Include them.
We are one. He said, I couldn't say left hand, I'm mad at you and I'm going to take you away because you're not the right hand. He's my left hand. I want him to stay there. Even the little tip of my finger, I want to stay right there. Every little part of my body stay right there. And God wants us as a body of believers to stay right exactly with one another. Right with one another, he repeats. And now you've got tapes on that. You've got tapes on what we believe. You've got tapes on discipline in the church. And how we behave ourselves in the church of God. How we got to come here together and sit together in heavenly places. Don't stay home if God is in your heart. You can't hardly wait for them doors to open.
Wow. If God is in your heart, you can't wait for them doors to open.
Then I'll tell you. He said, if you don't, and you don't feel that way, then I'll tell you.
It's time you got to pray. That's God's prophet.
Because we're in the last days where the Bible exhorted us to that much more as we see that day approaching, to love one another with Christian love and divine love, to assemble ourselves together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus and love one another. This will all men know that you're my disciples when you have love one for the other. Love one for the other. That's right. He says, stay together.
How can you stay together if you're wanting to belittle each other? You're trying to point each other's faults out and talk to your brother about this and your brother about that and this, that, and the other. How to stay together. They can't. But who's the head of it? That old devil trying to start something. Gets in your mind. Social media, he put together, trained you. And you want to get in everybody's business. You want to know what they're into. You want to know all about them. And I'm going to tell you, friend, if you have an attitude that you're trying to find something out that somebody's doing wrong so that you can run to the pastor as fast as you can, you need a Holy Ghost. Yes, you do. If that's your attitude. Oh, yeah. Friends, again, you'll not hide anything from God. Nothing whatsoever. You know? I don't want to feel like people feel like they can't come and talk to me. No. But if you're just going to come and just belittle somebody, I don't want to hear it. No. I don't want to hear it. Now, there's been pastors in the past and so forth and preachers that like that stuff. And they like to see how far they can dig into something to make somebody look bad. I'm not interested in that, friends. I'm interested in getting you in. If you'll just listen to the Word of God. Not to me, the Word. Now, if I speak the Word, then listen to me. But if I'm not speaking the Word, don't pay attention. You see? All right? And I will say this, because I want to make sure you all understand. I know the law of the land says that we should wear these masks. And we should. I mean, there's no reason why we can't. No, it isn't that big a deal. I mean, people are trying to make it a big deal. But the thing is, friends, if... As I said, if somebody comes in here, some visitor or something, and that might be the only reason they came, and then you get the health department on you, and then it just starts trouble. And guess what? It's all over town. The Capstone Light Tabernacle got in trouble with the health department because they wouldn't wear their mask. Yeah. Why stir strife? Why not peace? It isn't going to kill me to wear one when I have to. But when I don't have to, I ain't going to. Believe me. And I want you to know another thing. That don't mean that if the law comes along and says, I can't worship him anymore, I'm going to do it. Nah. I ain't going to pay attention to that. I'll go as far as what God permits me to do and wants me to do. But when it goes on beyond what God wants me to do, get out. They can go right on back down the road, and if they want to send me to prison, whatever, whatever they want to do. But they ain't going to take away from me what God wants me to do. You see, it ain't happening by God's grace. No, I just want you all to know that. So don't think this is a little trend that, well, now if the law tells me to do this, I'm going to do this, that, and the other. And it's just on this, that, and that. But one day they'll close the doors. The prophet said they would. Yeah, they will. But what are you going to do about it? We'll sneak around and go to each other. They've met in caves before, friends. Yeah, they have. Oh, yeah. But they ain't going to stop that. They may try to. They tried to stop Paul and Silas, but it didn't work, did it? Nah, the old prison wall fell down, the doors opened up. Oh, man. Guess what? Somebody else got saved. Yeah. Yes. But he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Praise his holy name. I hope you've understood what I'm trying to weed out. Get that out of your mind, friends, that you're always... And like I say, when a person does that, you know what the biggest problem is? Of course, we know it could be they don't have the Holy Ghost. But the other problem could be you've got yourself lifted up to a position you should never have yourself lifted up because you're just as bad as they are. As soon as that old tongue lets loose and that fire is coming off that deadly poison, you're just as bad as they are. Guess what? Don't be no partaker of it. Keep it away from me. If you can't say good about somebody, don't say nothing. Yeah. Just don't say nothing. If you can't say good, just forget it. Let it go. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand. I won't hold you no longer. I've held you long enough. Let's bow our heads. Gracious Heavenly Father, so many times we... Maybe in ourself, Lord, maybe in a way we think as a man, we think that we don't want to have to say these things and bring things out like this, but It's all part of your word, Lord. And it's things that, Father, if we're short on, it has to be overcome. And we must walk according to the will of God and your word, Lord. So we ask that you would forgive us, Lord. Here's a little group I ask today, that you would forgive us of these things. Lord, forgive us for being partakers of this. And Father, may your Holy Ghost be the trainer that trains us and not a social media that, Lord, sets our feet on the wrong path. But, oh God, may the Holy Ghost come down in our lives and be our leadership and our guidance, Father, in everything we do and say and think. And Lord, that no one will have to give an account of what comes out of our mouth. And knowing and realizing how deadly it can be, how it can hurt our brother and our sister, Lord, or even hurt a sinner, Lord, if we say the wrong thing, if we do the wrong thing. But Lord, help us to do everything just exactly the way you would do it. And Father, without you, we can't do it right. And there's no way we can tame our own tongue. But Lord, only by the Holy Ghost can it be tamed. So we ask that you would bless us now. And as we leave from this little place, give us strength, encouragement, and a greater desire to press on, Lord. Regardless of what's going on around us, let's press on with all that's in us. As again, Lord, we give you the glory for it. In the holy name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen. Can you say amen to Jesus?
Amen,
amen all the time? Amen. I'll say amen to Jesus. Amen all the time. Amen in sorrow. Amen, rain or shine. It's yes to God forever. He knows what's best for me. And so I'll just say amen, whatever. As far as I know, is Brother George still on for the 16th, as far as you know, of being here, the 16th? Okay, so just keep that in mind again. Brother George Smith will be here with us, Lord willing, the 16th, and he'll take the services. So pray God will just lead and guide and bless us with that. Amen. You're dismissed.